Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of the show, Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Walker Wildman. Walker, what have you posted on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
Well, I posted a Fox News article about the Supreme Court nominee that's going to be picked tomorrow by President Trump. I also posted one News Now article about sanctuary cities and compliance from Trump's executive order. And we're also live streaming Today's Issues Facebook page.
All right. Steve Jordahl is in studio with us. Steve Jordahl from American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, gentlemen. And good afternoon to those of you on the West Coast.
East Coast.
My geography's a little backwards today.
I would say, yeah, it was completely backwards.
Yeah.
That's okay, though. We all make mistakes.
I've been dealing
you
with
just
liberal,
have to make yours on Monday.
I've been dealing with liberal media all last week, so left is right, right is left, and north is south, and east is west. So.
Oh, man. What do you got for us, first of all, Steve?
Well, top of the page at onenewsnow.com, and it's not exactly top of the page, but you do want to go down and find the latest Michael Brown column. He has he's talking about five things that bother him about the liberal reaction to President Trump's immigration orders. So you can go find that at onenewsnow.com. We will have a poll question up there as well. I know you guys have been talking about this whole immigration bill and everything, and you probably
it's not a bill.
Well, no, I'm sorry, the
executive order
and the reaction to it.
Yes.
And did you guys talk or hear that we have a new John Boehner? You remember how John Boehner used to tear up at the slightest provocation? Well, Chuck Schumer is now displaying this. This talent. Did you know that?
He's the emotional conscience of the Congress.
Well, in Boehner's defense, some of that, those tears were caused by overexposure to tanning beds.
I think cigarette smoke would do it. Too.
I think that's.
Are you serious?
No, I'm just kidding.
He smoked like a smoke like a smokestack. Actually, when I was working at Focus on the Family, we had a legislative analyst who, upon occasion, would go to Washington, D.C., and she found out she was pregnant. She was about 4 or 5 months pregnant when she made this last trip and was going to see House Speaker Boehner. And so she was obviously pregnant, and she went into his office. He was smoking a cigarette and did not offer to put it out. And she was, you know, pregnant and starting to think this secondhand smoke isn't good for my baby. And so ever after, she referred to him not as Speaker Boehner, but as Smoker Boehner.
You mean you're allowed to smoke in the U.S. Capitol?
If you're the Speaker of the House, you can do whatever you want to.
Yeah.
It's your house.
Okay, pretty much.
So anyway, today, or maybe yesterday, Chuck Schumer came out and was talking about his disdain for the latest actions by our president and surrounding himself with several Muslim children and families, he said this.
This executive order.
Pause for effect.
Was mean-spirited and un-American.
Yes.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Minority Leader.
Excuse me. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat from New York, and he's referring to President Trump's temporary ban on people from seven countries who have a lot of terrorist problems.
Well, and let me contrast those tears for those families, and there may be some heart tugs, you know, for what's happened to those families. Let me give you another angle of this is the Dallas News and Christian Post are reporting that the ISIS magazine, that's kind of hard to say, magazine, ISIS magazine is calling for jihadists to kill, to murder Pastor Robert Jeffress and attack his church, Dallas's First Baptist Church. So,
where are the tears there?
Yeah, well, so that to me seems to be a contrast to the way you look at. Yes.
I might want to interject here. I just got off the phone with Pastor Jeffress before I came to the studio. He is just dismissing those remarks, saying they're not credible, and he's been talking with law enforcement here, saying he's downplaying the threat, saying they don't believe it's a credible threat. I went and downloaded and tried to find and got past our robust security, internet security. I found the ISIS magazine,
yeah,
printed an English version, and I looked, and I didn't see any reference or picture of the church, but not to say that it's not there. Jeffress told me that they've been in contact with law enforcement for several months, so this may have been a legitimate call. Certainly just talking about it, and not that we shouldn't, but certainly just talking about it might be enough to spring loose a nut job that could go and try to do some harm there.
I'm just going by Dallas. Right. The Dallas Morning News says a digital ISIS propaganda magazine, it names it, included photos of the downtown church in an article urging ISIS followers to carry out the attack. So whether it's credible or not, I would list it
as unconfirmed. I haven't been able to confirm it myself, and I've been looking.
All right, let's get back to the point. The point is that Chuck Schumer is crying at a press conference. He surrounded himself with some people, I guess he says, were affected by President Trump's temporary ban from these seven countries. Temporary, I said 4 months, I think it is. He's put the pause button on, as he said he would during the election. This is what he ran on. Part of the reason one of his issues was stop the flow of immigration from these countries where we have. First of all, he did talk about banning Muslims about a year ago. You remember that? Because he had it, as most Americans had, with all these Muslim jihadi attacks across America. He was only voicing the frustration of many people. We're going to stop this nonsense. We're not going to let these people into our country.
Yeah.
We're going to stop it. Now, you can't. I think he figured out you. I don't think. Maybe you can. You could ban.
Legally, you can.
Ban people based on their religion?
Constitutionally, can.
I think it would be. You may be able to do that if you. But I think it's.
But there's no need to. You don't have to.
I don't think it's practical because anybody can lie about their religion.
Right.
So I don't think it's sensible to try to ban people to coming here based on their religion. That's my own view. However, you can ban people from coming here that are from countries where hotbeds of Islamic jihadists is known, if they're known for that. And it's because they have passports, right? And they have countries that issue passports. So that's that's what he did. He took seven of the worst offenders, countries their jihad is very prevalent, and he said, we're putting a temporary stop on this. Well, that's the reaction then you get from Chuck Schumer, the liberal Democrat. And he's crying. Now, Trump responded in his usual compassionate way to Chuck Schumer.
As you can imagine, it was very compassionate and thoughtful and empathetic.
Donald Trump's response
was this.
I noticed Chuck Schumer yesterday with fake tears. I'm going to ask him who is his acting coach. Because I know him very well. I don't see him as a crier. If he is, he's a different man. There's about a 5% chance that it was real, but I think there were fake tears.
That's President Trump talking about Senator Schumer. Said he's known him a long time from New York. Those were fake tears, he said.
Building bridges to the opposite side of the aisle.
It's kind of ironic that the senator from New York is the leading opponent to the president from New York, right?
Right.
Ed? They have known each other a long time, these two fellows. Trump says, I know him, and he's not a crier. So he says there's about a 5% chance that those tears were genuine. Those were fake tears. I got to ask him who his acting coach is. Oh, my goodness. It's just really happening. I mean, usually a president would not respond at all, probably, or if he did, he wouldn't respond.
He's going to respond to everything. I mean, we've talked about that. He, you know, just don't. You don't have to tweet about everything.
Be judicious with your
Be judicious. I just think that's just not in his DNA. He's going to respond. If you say Donald Trump is wrong about something, he's going to tweet out, "You're an idiot," or he's going to come to his own defense. I just think this is going to be at least the next 4 years.
Like Michelle Obama said, "When they go low, we go high." Trump's motto is, "When they go low, I go lower."
Or I'll punch you back.
Yeah. But he didn't mind stooping down and playing their games.
Yeah, he Trump is, you know, he's a street fighter. And he's a street fighter that's very sensitive.
Yes, that's right.
So he's not going to let anything slide.
I got feelings too, you know.
Well, I think, personally, I think those who voted for him wanted him to do exactly what he's doing. And although there is a, you know, we all want to see our president be presidential, whatever exactly that means, and we also want decorum associated with the highest office in the land, the most powerful office in the world. By the way, we have a great quote from Donald Trump about the seriousness in which he takes his role and his dependence. He said about prayer to God because he realizes the gravity of his situation now in the world in terms of the seriousness of it. But he, I think people wanted a street fighter.
Yes.
They didn't want business as usual. Yeah, he goes overboard sometimes. But he also says a lot of things and does a lot of things, President Trump, that people identify with, and they go, you know what? It's about time somebody did this or somebody did that. And I think a lot of the people who voted for him say it's about time somebody stood up for the interest of the American people,
right,
and not the PC crowd, not the liberal Hollywood crowd, not the, you know what I'm saying? Not the internationalist, not the globalist. But standing up for common sense and the American person out there who voted for him. So
yeah,
sermon over. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Eva Tagliano and Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl. President Trump firing back at Chuck Schumer, the senator from New York. Saying that he was crying, quote, fake tears, end of quote. I'm sorry. Should I not be laughing at that? Or is that funny?
No, I think it's funny. If he says, "I've known Chuck Schumer for a long time, he doesn't strike me as a crier."
Right.
What he's saying is this is a rough guy from New York. And if he's crying about this issue publicly at a news conference.
Right.
He's faking it.
I want to talk to his acting coach.
I understand that.
That's one New Yorker talking to another one.
If it was John Boehner, we made fun of him a little bit because he was prone to crying at odd times. I don't know whether, you know, it was medication or what, but he would just kind of cry. Well, then you go, well, that's just John. You know, he's tender-hearted guy. You know, he's, you know, whatever. But if it's Chuck Schumer and he's a street fighter like we're talking about, And
Donald Trump's known him for a long time.
A long time. Listen, we've slugged it out many a time. This is not a guy prone to breaking down and crying. You know, I understand what he's saying.
All right. Now, hey, is this breaking news, yeah, Steve?
We're just finding out within the last hour or so that Iran has been testing against its UN agreement. It's been testing ballistic missiles. So thank you, Mr. Obama, first of all, for our nice, cozy relationship with that country, which continues to stab us in the back every time. But this is especially scary because those that do not believe that this agreement that we came into with Iran is going to keep them for a very significant amount of time from having a nuclear weapon— now they are going to be able to mount it on top of a ballistic missile. It should be noted that this was a failed test. It exploded on reentry. Well, I guess that's what you want a bomb to do, but so maybe it wasn't.
Well, but you want it to hit its target before
right,
it goes
before
off.
Before it goes off. But they're getting closer, and they're not seeming to care a whole lot about any agreement they made with the UN or the U.S. or anyone else in the world.
You know, here's what might potentially happen with this story in the next few weeks, months. Who knows exactly? And yes, President Trump signed up for the job. I know that. But in my view, what President Obama did with Iran put the next president, whoever he or she would be, even if it had been Hillary Clinton, in a bad situation. President Obama is going to be golfing now and going to the beach and hanging out with his Hollywood buds. The president now is left with this mess. This massive mess that was the Iran agreement.
Right.
That was built on misinformation.
Right.
Remember that? We later learned. Mm-hmm. So President Obama negotiated a deal outside of Congress. Did they have to approve that?
No,
they didn't have to approve. He negotiated a deal outside of Congress by himself. John Kerry negotiated a deal with Iran, which allowed all the money, lifted the sanctions, and allowed all that money. And remember, Obama sent them all that money on a plane that was unmarked.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Right.
In the dead of night,
millions of dollars in cash.
President Obama, President of the United States, sent Iran
on a pallet,
cash, in the middle of the night, hoping nobody would find out about it on an unmarked plane. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, we wondered where he got that kind of cash. I think it was Bill and Hillary's walking around money that he used from their speeches.
That was a comic commentary from Steve Jordahl there. But I mean, what I'm saying is that this is a mess with Iran, and President Obama made it. It was already contentious, but he made it worse by giving them all the money they needed to do. And now they're thumbing their nose at the world and defying these UN resolutions. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, I wanted to make you aware of something your church, your family, your small group may want to participate in, having to do with Super Bowl week. And joining us to talk about it is Roman Gabriel III. Roman is at the Super Bowl, or he's en route to the Super Bowl in Houston, Texas. Roman, good morning.
Good morning, and I am here at the Super Bowl, Tim, in Houston, Texas, site of Super Bowl 51, and I did cry a lot of tears this morning and can cry for you if you'd like
to. No, that's okay. That's all right. We don't want a football guy crying.
There's
on our
no
show.
Crying in football.
There you go. That's right.
That was begging to be said.
Tom Hanks line. I love that line.
Hey, Roman, you've been spending the last few months putting together a very special event that our listeners, you have a ministry called Sold Out Youth Ministries, and you spent go ahead.
I do. We're real excited. As you know, we've covered the Super Bowl for 25 years, and 5 years now on American Family Radio, we've had the opportunity to partner with you guys and bring a faith and family view of the Super Bowl each and every year. Well, this year we're going to do nothing but better, as we're going to be doing a special event on Wednesday night that's going to be available throughout the month of February, especially for your Super Bowl weekend celebration, an online demand one-hour program that you can download through your church or to your family, or have that party where you invite friends over and they can hear Hall of Famer and Pro Football Super Bowl 41 champion Tony Dungy give his testimony. We've got three-time Super Bowl champion Chad Henning of the Dallas Cowboys, Steelers linebacker Steven Johnson, Eagles standout Troy Benson, and the first woman to coach in the NFL, an incredible story, Dr. Jen Welter of the Arizona Cardinals, will be with us on Wednesday. And you can be involved with this event where you can bring your friends into your home, download this event, and hear these incredible testimonies, including testimonies from the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons, some of the key faith-based guys that you'll see on Sunday night in that Super Bowl broadcast. And really excited, you can just go to faithandfootballlive.com. That's faithandfootballlive.com for all the details. You can sign up, and you can show this throughout the month. month of February. But what we want you to do is, rather than listen to Lady Gaga at halftime, pregame, halftime, or postgame, get your friends together and hear these incredible testimonies, including Coach Tony Dungy's story, which you'll want to hear. And we're going to give a gospel presentation, Tim, at the end of this program, an invitation for your friends, your coworkers, some of those family members that maybe won't go to church with you, but they'll watch NFL players talk about their faith and how important it is to them at the Super Bowl. So go to faithandfootballlive.com and get the details and have a great time on Super Bowl weekend. And we're so excited about this program. Of course, American Family Radio is the official radio sponsor of our event. So we're always proud to be involved with you guys in proliferating the gospel using the biggest event in the world. So we're fired up.
Hey, you know, Roman, when I was growing up, I'm 58 years old. When I was growing up watching football, loved watching the NFL, I don't remember ever hearing a pro football player, you know, in a post-game interview or even in, you know, magazines or whatever. I just don't remember anyone ever talking about their relationship with Jesus Christ. And yet now it is, you know, it's kind of familiar to us. We hear this a lot. Was I just wrong about that? Was I just not seeing it, or have things changed?
No, you're exactly right about it. When I came out of college, there were two guys that being a young Christian, that were two guys that I looked up to, and it was Steve Barkowski, the Atlanta Falcons quarterback, and it was Roger Staubach, the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. There was the first time that I had ever heard a football player or coach explain clearly a personal relationship with Jesus. And, you know, those guys are kind of the pioneers of this whole movement. And then you had guys like Reggie White, and you had, Kurt Warner, and, of course, Tony Dungy, who's going to be giving his incredible testimony at this faithandfootballlive.com event. So to be able to bring together the Super Bowl, you know, we have people in this country that worship football, but that's not what you should worship. We're bringing guys that are at the top of their game, who have won Super Bowls, who have played in the NFL, who are playing in the NFL, who are going to talk to you and your friends who desperately need to know Christ about the fact that God is number one in their life. Their faith comes first, and they use their platform of professional football to influence people for Jesus. So we're going to have fun on Wednesday night. Please, AFR listeners, support what we're doing with this, because it's an opportunity for you to share with people who would never come to church but will come to your house for a Super Bowl party. So go to faithandfootballlive.com, sign up. It doesn't cost, was less than a couple cups of coffee for you. Who wants to see Lady Gaga make political statements at halftime of the Super Bowl? I'm sick of it, to be honest with you. Let's listen to some of the greatest NFL players and coaches share about what we all care about at AFR, which is our relationship with Jesus and how we can use our platform to bring people to him. So we're fired up and so thankful to be working with AFR on this.
Hey, thanks, Roman. Appreciate it. Best wishes for your time down there in Houston, and we look forward to the event.
Tim, we'll be checking in, getting you guys all sorts of cool stuff. We'll be with the Falcons and Patriots tonight at media night. We have a bunch of great stuff, so we're looking forward to getting that to you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Okay, Roman Gabriel III reporting live from Houston, Texas, where Super Bowl will be on Sunday. Super Bowl, man, it seems like it rolls around too fast every year.
I know.
But, hey, some things never change. Tom Brady and the New England Patriots are in the Super Bowl again.
In the Super Bowl.
Huh?
Yeah, the sacrificial Falcons.
Some people think the Falcons actually have a chance.
Falcons are a good team. Shocked me last week. They dismantled the Packers.
One of the ironies is that the quarterback for the Falcons, Matt Ryan, went to school at Boston University.
Boston College, yeah.
Rather. We will see you back here tomorrow, folks. Have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio.